I'm Chris.
I'm Jake.
And this is Don't Give Up Hunks. First guest episode, our boy Jake is here. You may know him from podcasting, from music. Dude, if you've ever listened to anything I've ever done in my entire life, Jake is a part of that in some way. Whether you were guesting on it, or dude, back in the day, writing into Chomp Chain, or making basically every piece of music ever used on any one of my podcasts. So that's your boy Jake.
Yeah. Hey, it's me.
Thanks for being here, brother.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Dude, I forgot about that. Yeah, like I think I told the story. I found you like posting Metal Gear stuff on Instagram.
I know.
Like, this guy's cool. He's got all the cool figs, bro. And then you're like, I have a podcast. I'm like, hell yeah.
I was just thinking about that.
Dude, before. I even rap with the homies. I had like a rap song with Joe and dude.
We go way back. That's actually crazy. I've known you longer than I knew Jeremy.
It's wild, right?
We were just talking about Jeremy because I'm saying like, okay, send me your audio after and we'll edit it, we'll make it all work. And we're like, Jeremy would be like editing mid podcast. Like he'd get it done before the podcast was done. How? You don't even have my audio yet and you're done. He was so good.
I forgot, like, I remember talking to him about it. And then he was like, oh, I did this video that nobody watches because it's boring podcast stuff.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, send it to me because I'm like, I've been trying to do podcasting again, but I'm just like so rusty. And then it's just like, yeah, at this point, he's like, it's an old episode of like the Supernatural pod. And he's all like, yeah, so like right here, like Chris coughs, so I like timestamp, and I'm like, what?
Yeah, dude.
We can timestamp?
Yeah.
I didn't even know that was a thing.
Yeah,
and I think I was calling it like Big J's podcast hacks with Jeremy.
Dude, Big J was locked the fuck in. Like, it's like obviously we're joking, but like genuinely, it's actually like ridiculous how
skilled the dude had it down to a science, man. Like,
and like even if you knew none of anything that transpired in real life, you could immediately tell when I took over editing. It was not seamless.
I was going to say, though, dude, like, you've been, like, super consistent, and, like, it's been good.
I've been, dude,
I think we've all been enjoying it, and then it's, like, fun hearing, like, the hunk one, and then you got the gamer one.
It just makes me feel better. It's very selfish. It just makes me feel better. And I know that, like, there's a ton of people still in the Discord and everything, and I'm like, I can't just, like, let people down, and I have such a weird thing. I mean, I've talked about this a bunch of times, but I always think I'm socializing, and then I realize, like, no, I'm not. I'm just reading everybody's comments. That doesn't count to socializing. You have to actually engage.
Let's talk about Discord real quick, because I sometimes feel like I'm a dinosaur. Don't get it. I feel like I'm always a lurker. Like, I could probably say something really fun right here, and then somebody else says something cool, and I'm like, okay, I'll just read it instead.
Yeah, that's exactly how I am. I was just talking to Chomp Chain alum Dylan about guild chat in World of Warcraft, and he was like, yeah, I had to join a Discord for one of these games, but it just, like, I don't get it. This is not the vibe. And I'm like, yeah, it's tough being a dinosaur. We grew up on, like, forums where you make a post. He made posts. I was always a lurker, certified lurker always. But it felt like it was like a long, drawn out conversation because you had to make a post and then update it. And then people would have to read that and then formulate a response and then come back. And now it's a stream. It's a chat. I mean, Discord is very cool. Discord's very cool.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, I get a little lost in the river, you know, I get swept upstream sometimes.
The first time I used Discord and they had all the different channels and chats and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Thank God I had my one friend Chase, because then I'd be like, oh yeah, dude, da, da, da. And he's like, bro, you're in the wrong chat. And I'm like, what? And I'm like, because I switched to something else to look at what they posted, and then started, like, whatever thought I was on started posting on that instead of going back to the old chat or the other channel that I was supposed to be on. And be like, Jake, you're on the wrong channel.
Yeah, we would randomly that's why we have, like, in our Discord, we have, like, the gamer channel, but then we also have, like, the Final Fantasy 14 channel, and we had an Elden Ring channel, because it was like, this is like, we're getting hyper specific because that's dominating the conversation.
But this is what I'm saying, like, but my dumb ass would have been like, oh, let's talk about Elden Ring, and then I'm like, oh, somebody posted in, like, the Final Fantasy. I'm like, oh, that's cool, let me go back to the Elden Ring thought, but I put the Elden Ring thought in the Final Fantasy channel.
Dude, we're not built for this.
we're not built for it.
Tough. I have to say, everybody
it's
in the
cool,
Discord
but...
has been so well behaved. Because Jeremy was the real authority in there, and I would just go in, and every once in a while, somebody would say that they didn't like Sam Winchester's hair, and I'd be like, I'm going to ban you.
Hold on.
Okay.
they're going to hear this, and they're going to be like, we can go wild now? You just gave them, was it carte blanche to like just post wild? And now you've got to wrangle them in, dude.
Don't. No. Dude, my cat is looking at me like, why are you screaming? I was sound asleep, really. I closed the doors on you, buddy. I'm sorry. You're locked in here with me. He's not happy at me. He's like, you're yelling. I was sound asleep. You're shouting, and yeah. I don't know what you're doing. Stop showing off in front of your internet friends. Anyway, buddy, what's up? What's going on with you?
Chilling, man. Glad to be on here, and talk some Jeremy, talk some nerd stuff.
Yeah, the best part about hitting record every week when I do these by myself is I got no fucking clue what I'm about to talk about. No freestyle. Idea. I guess it's freestyle. I can't freestyle for real, but I can freestyle podcast. So,
hey, freestyle's a freestyle, man.
Dude, we didn't play normally. So we're recording this on a Monday. Normally I record on Thursdays. I think this might be releasing on Thursday. I haven't decided yet. Thursday, if you're listening to this on November 13th, in and around, that is Jeremy's birthday. So happy birthday to Jeremy.
Happy birthday, Jeremy.
Yeah. Normally I would have played D&D last night, but the crew couldn't get together. So I'm fresh out of D&D stories. My character's soul is still hanging in the balance.
I know the diarrhea god is after you now. Dude,
listen, Dylan, if you're listening to this, don't listen to it. I know you listen sometimes, but dude, I was just looking at just different like Forgotten Realms stuff because that is the setting that we're in, and seeing like what happens if you sell your soul. And the Forgotten Realms fan wiki pops up telling me like, oh, you can become a shade. And I'm like, oh, I know about shades. Ooh. I've read all these fucking fantasy novels. I know about this thing. And it sounds cool as fuck. You lose your soul and you become this thing. So I messaged the DM and I was like, dude, if I die, can you make me into this? He has not responded. Can you make me shade, bro? Like, he's make me fucking sick, dude.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, dude, I've been enjoying it. I love hearing. I know they say like nobody cares about your character more than you do. Yeah. I'm like the person that does. I love hearing these stories and stuff like that. Different characters. I think that's one of my favorite things about like video games, especially like the Elden Rings and ones where you can actually build your own character. Because I'm the dude that's like, I'm going to have a whole ass backstory. No one cares. It doesn't pertain to this video game, but there's a whole ass backstory to my character.
It's fun though. Even if like I would always do this when I, especially playing like Oblivion in high school, where I would just come up with a little story that would never be relevant. I would never tell anybody about it. It would just be in the back of my head. But when I played it, I would feel like I wouldn't even actively have to think about it, but it would be there, that little nugget, and it would make the experience more enjoyable. Just having that little nugget.
Yeah, I think even like, especially like with games like Baldur's Gate 3, which I mean, it's D&D, so you kind of do it regardless, so then like decisions make more sense, right? Like, oh, I'm playing like an anti-hero, so I'm going to be kind of like a jerk, or I'm playing a good wholesome muffin character, so I'm making all the good choices.
Or I'm the Dark Urge, and I'm a fucking sicko.
Yeah, I'm a Dark Urge, and I'm murdering everybody. Yeah,
yeah. The which is like it's so funny with Baldur's Gate. I would get like the personality, like this is the type of person that I am, but I always weirdly would like struggle with formulating my character's backstory because sometimes. I remember coming up with I made a drow barbarian because I just thought like drow are typically very small. So I'm going to be this gigantic dude who doesn't look like he should be a drow at all. He just runs around the woods with no shirt on, swinging two broadswords around. Like I had this whole thing and like, oh, he was excommunicated from blah, 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 whatever. And then as soon as I get into it, you know, Astarion asked me a question. I'm like, yeah, I'm from Baldur's Gate. Yeah, I grew up in the city. I'm like, no, fuck, shit, no. Stick to the plan.
Yeah. Oh, it's on 17th Street, right? Yeah. Baldur's Gate.
Like, suddenly, I've got. I know. I got no street names. I'm asking him about the local bodega. I'm like, I'm naming all this shit. I'm like, you're a poser, dude. You're literally a poser. Do you have a current D&D campaign that you're in?
I don't. Honestly, I was gonna say I think what I'm doing right now too is also like living through your stories.
Oh sure,
because it sounds like you're having a positive experience with D&D. My first experience, like I've really got into D&D during pandemic and then it's just all online with friends online from across the US. The first one was very cool with all the players, but then it was kind of bad because
you don't have to get into juicy drama if you don't want to.
No, dude, but if you do, what we're here for. This is the pod, this is the tea. Y'all gotta know.
Yeah, you don't have to name names.
No, like the DM wanted to be a novelist, so we went through like their novel and we're like being railroaded.
I see.
And then this is kind of crazy. They had this weird obsession with suicide.
Okay.
And so things got toxic real quick. That thing only lasted 6 months, and then we all bounced.
That's crazy.
And then the last campaign I was in was just shy of 3 years. And it kind of exploded with me in the DM right at the last final arc. And so I didn't send in for the last arc.
No.
But it was kind of weird stuff too. I'm like,
and this is the people you're playing with online.
Yeah. So like it was like that. But I've done a few one shots. I did like an all bards one shot and found out that even though I do music, I'm a terrible bard. Not a single musical like was it Bardic Inspiration? Yeah, nobody got that from me. That's not funny. A single that's Bardic Inspiration.
Funny. That was the hardest thing for me, was finding a character that I felt like I could play. That's why I ended up just picking a fighter. I was like, I've played a million video games where I hit stuff with a sword, so like I can envision that. But like knowing when to use it the correct spell. I mean, I wasn't even using like my bonus actions for like the first session because I just didn't know what I was doing.
Yeah, and then, do you do the thing where you're like, is at the end of your turn, you're like looking. Yeah, I guess it's the end of my turn. You're like, I could have moved. I could have done a bonus action. I could have.
So, but it's funny because now that I've gotten a little bit better about that stuff, the DM, he was like, okay, one thing I'll give you for, you know, you did make a deal with the devil, so if you want, when you level up, like I'll let you take a level of warlock, and you can like kind of like we can make that work so that you know this is kind of like your patron is this
multi-class.
And I was like, that's so fucking sick. Like I did this for RP reasons, so this like to continue down that path for role-playing reasons, is that's the play. And then when we finally leveled up, and I was like, actually I'm just gonna take fourth level of fighter, thank you, because I'm too worried about that will be way too complicated for my small brain. But
no, actually being like a half caster might be fun, because that was speaking of like character, first character I had was like a rogue, and so it was back when the like ghost shadow phantom subclass came out. So I had like this really cool, like I could do like ghosts were helping me fight and stuff like that, so it was very cool. But it was very like, you know what I mean, like you play a rogue in any video game. It's, you know, dagger, sneak attack, hide, stuff like that. And then the one that I had a lot of fun with, and just being able to look at the different subclasses and multi-classing, was the class and races and species and all that stuff too. They have one that's a half hag. Called a Hexblood. So you're a half hag. So I picked that. I'm like, I'm going to be a half hag.
Dude, Hexblood, that's tight as fuck.
Yeah, sounds dope, right? Hexblood, the best emo band we've never heard. Hexblood. Yeah. So I was a Hexblood, and then I took Cleric, and then there's a Peace Domain Cleric that is kind of the best way that like I saw it described was almost like a war medic. You can like, especially at higher levels, like you can swap places with people. You can tank, like you can split the damage so that you take half damage, they take half damage.
That's sick.
There's this really cool and you get it pretty early on, where as long as you're 30 or 60 feet between like two or three other people, they get all these buffs and bonuses and extra rolls, and so it's like really cool. So you're managing like the healing. But then I multi-classed into a druid, and druid they have a subclass called the Circle of Stars. So then instead of doing your wild shapes into like animals, you can do wild shapes into like these like constellation type things. And then I didn't have any like range weapons, but then if I multi-class, I could be like the constellation archer, and then have these like starry like bows. So it was very cool. I think I'm looking forward to like when you start getting into that, when you start feeling more comfortable multi-classing, seeing like
there's so much room for creativity.
Yeah. And then like, because I'm like this half hag, I have like these traits that are just special for being a half hag. Like there's like this one that's, it's like creepy, it's like body horror kind of. So there's like, you can either pull like some hair or like pull out a tooth, and you can leave it and spy on people. So if you hide your tooth or something like that in the place, gnarly. And then you leave. So it's like all kinds of cool, like. And then I guess the thing that was really cool about like the Hexblood thing is like, if I guess you go full, like, I don't know, level 20 or whatever you want to do, you could technically go through a ritual that will make you a full hag. The thing that's interesting is that is if you decide to do that, then the DM takes over your character, because you as a player probably shouldn't be playing a full on hag.
Yeah, dude, I kept trying to offer this hag my virginity to save my soul. crazy that that wasn't like an agreed upon deal. You know what I mean?
You're like, hey, girls.
I was like, I'm playing this like young, hot, twink elf. You know, I gotta offer something to the world.
Hell yeah. We love a, I don't know why, a good twink elf.
I don't remember the context of it. I think, the hag had caused Dylan and I's characters to have nightmares. And I, you know, rolled a wisdom save and I was able to wake up from it or something like that. But he wasn't. So he gets lured into, like, the hag's, like, cottage in his dream. And she's trying to seduce him. And then, like, horrible things happen to him. And then he wakes up in his dream and he's all fucked up. And at that point in my mind, we just were trying to come up with like the RP reason why my character was able to resist, and I was like, I think it's because he's a virgin. Yeah, I think he's a virgin. I think that he just doesn't really know what she's alluding to. He's not just a virgin. He's like the Sam Winchester virgin, where it's like he doesn't quite know what pregnancy is. Like, he just doesn't really get how stuff works. So he wasn't able to be entrapped that way because he doesn't understand it.
I was thinking, oh, he's just an innocent guy. He doesn't realize he's being flirted with. He's like, that lady was really nice. I'm like, they were hitting on you, brother.
No, yeah.
He's like, really?
She was trying to psychically seduce you and steal your soul. Oh, really? I didn't know.
Yeah. I thought she was just being nice.
My bad. Really nice. I thought she was just extra friendly. It is good. I'm glad that I haven't had to run into any drama. I mean, it would be weird if I did, because it's all guys I know in real life.
Yeah, they're all your buddies.
So if there was drama, I'm like, one of our guys.
It is
like,
interesting.
One of our guys quit, but it wasn't like drama. He was like, I'm already in a campaign. Yeah. He also lives at the apartment that we play at, so he's still there.
Oh,
he's
gotcha.
Just like, so Sunday there, night, yeah. I just want to chill. I don't want to play for 3 hours. Like, that's fine.
Yeah. That's the thing, too. Like, the 3 hours, I think the scheduling is always like the like big bad enemy.
Although I went over to his room last week and I was like, hey, dude, just if you ever feel like coming back, we keep fucking almost dying. So if you ever are bored a Sunday night, we could probably use the extra, you know, sword.
Yeah, so I like hearing like the stories you guys are doing, and it's cool that like you guys all have like the camaraderie, and I'm pretty sure nothing toxic will happen, because it's, I don't know, it's one of the things you like, the cool thing about finding people online is like, you know what I mean, it's cool because you meet new people and you're like, dude, these are my friends. One of the cool things about like, you know, the internet and meeting us meeting each other, then meeting Jeremy too, like, you know what I mean, we're all spread across the world. But then, like, the same thing is, like, if you don't have, like, those, like, lines and veils and different things that you're, like, okay, like, the talk about, like, because, like, did you guys do a session zero at all for your game?
No, not really. We all talked
in,
like, a group chat and discussed
stuff. So then that was, like, technically, like, your session zero.
Yeah, we were, like, all planning stuff out. He was giving us a little, we'd ask questions, you know, all that. So it felt like a session zero.
Yeah, and so, like, that was my thing, too. Like, I didn't, like, they're, like, oh, let's do a session zero. But, dude, like... And I swear, like, this is how it should have been, like, a red flag from the jump. The session zero wasn't talking about what we're expecting, what we want to do, what our characters are going to be like. It was literally, like, the prelude to session one.
Okay.
Like, it was like, you two guys are, like, because I think we played with, like, the one group was 4 players, 5 with the DM, and then the other one was, like, 6, 5 players, and then the DM. Mm-hmm. And it was literally like, okay, you guys are split into a party, and you guys are split into a party. This is how you guys meet. And then in session one, you guys both, the full party meets. And I'm like, that's not a session zero. That's just session, 2 separate session 1s.
Yeah.
Like, but, like, at that time, I didn't know any better. And now looking back, I'm like, oh, no. Like, yeah. Because, like, when I played some of these one-shots with other folks online, it was like, hey, like, are you okay with, like, body horror? Mm-hmm. Is, like, romance okay? And so you have, like, a check-off list, or just, like, you know, whether you're in chat or in the DMs talking about what's cool, what's not cool. And then I'm like, oh, this is what a healthy, like, start of a game should be like.
Dude, that's
so
crazy.
It's cool that you guys did have that.
Yeah, the idea of somebody trying to, like, put you into their novel sounds like a fucking nightmare.
Dude,
I understand, like... That could be a good creative exercise for that person to be like, let me present the same setup and see how characters in this situation respond. And then that can even help you think of new things. But like, to force something like that, that's like such a drag.
It was wild. And then it was like one of those where we're like, well, because it's homebrewed. And then I think later on I heard most like, you know, the YouTube DMs being like, yeah, like, you know, be kind of gentle with the first time DMs, because both of them were first time DMs too, which is also crazy. But then like, they probably shouldn't be doing homebrew because they're not ready for a homebrewed world, but they all wanted their own homebrewed world. And then it was just like, if it didn't go according to what they thought the world would be, I was just like, oh, okay. And now we're running into problems.
I feel like a really good DM, I say this as somebody who has never done it, but I feel like a really good DM could still like quote unquote railroad their players, but
I think
still,
some do.
But let them think that they're making the decisions, right? Like if you decide to go left instead of right, and I really wanted you to go right, okay, well, then I'll just shift my narrative. So this is what happens if you went left. And do it in such a way where the player still has agency. And yes, you can still wrap your story around them or whatever, but they don't feel like they're being railroaded, and they get to make choices and feel like they're having fun. Because at the end of the day, it's still a game. And as long as they're having fun, then that's important. But like when you just take away somebody's choices because you want it to fit your narrative, that kind of sucks.
Yeah. I was going to say, like, and I don't know if any of the DMs that are listening from the chat and all that stuff, or from Discord, like, please chime in and let us both know, because, like, I'm also curious about, like, when you're DMing. I had this thought where it's like, even if you have your homebrewed world, it's still for your play. Because I think, like, I don't know if you watched Critical Role or any of those.
Yeah, I mean, I've dabbled.
Okay. Oh, well, first off, I should say,
how's the new season? Because I've been wanting to check that out.
It's been interesting. I mean, the thing too is like Brennan Lee Mulligan is the guy. I don't know if you're familiar with Brennan.
Only from like YouTube shorts.
Oh my God, dude, I think I can share my password. What's it called? I'll share my password with you. What's it called? And I think they're okay. They're like, hey, remember when like Netflix let you share?
Yeah,
still do that. This dude is, first off, he's a genius. I think he's like an actual, like, I think he like didn't even go to like finish high school. He went straight to like college or something crazy. The dude's like, the dude's a genius. But he's so fun. And I think he does those things where, like, especially if you're a new player, he will just like the charm and the whimsy and the like all this stuff that like toxic masculinity. I used to be toxic and now I'm not. Like it just melts away because it's just like, it's what's the story? What are we trying to tell? What are we trying to learn from this thing? Dude, he's so good at it. So I think this season has been very interesting because it's him as a DM for the Critical Role guys. You finally get to see Matt Mercer, not me, a DM, which I think he's probably going to have a ball. And then he's juggling like 13 players in like everybody was like, how is this going to happen? And he's been doing it pretty, like it feels effortless. I'm pretty sure it's not, you know, I'm pretty sure he's having to do work, but to tell all these stories and know these characters and give them the opportunity to like shine and do their thing. It's been so far, it's been very, very good. I think
it's going to be a ton of work, but it must be so rewarding to get to like, engage with people like that. That's so sick.
And then his stuff on their Dropout streaming thing called Dimension 20, he's got his set of players that he always has, and they're all, like, great comedians and just, like, really good. Like, there's
Was he the one who DM'd for the Baldur's Gate cast? Do you remember who I'm talking about?
Yeah, no, I don't. I think he played with them.
Okay, I vaguely. I'm trying to remember, like, because I've definitely seen him in stuff, but I'm trying to think, like.
Yeah. He was. There was one where. Abria Iyengard, who's also a pretty awesome DM and player, she was running a game for them for, I think, the guy that does Historian, Karlak, and who's the other one? I think there was another, either one or other voice actor. And then Brennan was, like, playing this weird, like, wizard or whatever. Just so weird. He plays funny like odd job characters or whatever, but no, they have like there's one that's called a Throne of Candy that's got like this like Game of Thrones vibe, but it's Candyland. I think you would love that one, dude. That one, and he's out to like try to murder the players at certain points. But no, that dude is great. But yeah, I'm just like, I was, especially like with him, I was thinking about like him and Matt Mercer and how like they'll make these worlds. And going back to what I was thinking about with the DM thing, I had this like thought, I'm like, when DMs make their worlds, like I get like, you would have that ownership over like, I made this, this is this, how this is how magic works. And these are the people that live and die and work and love and, you know, all that stuff in this world. But I also thought, like, do DMs have a moment where, like, I'm building this because I'm giving it away to the players? Like, this is my gift to them. Yeah. Even though it's mine, it's not mine anymore. And I'm, like, I was thinking that way as far as a DM. Like, do DMs think that way? Or is it, like, no, I mean, this is my world, TM.
The second that I think the players have as much ownership over everything as the DM does. I mean, I'm a player, not a DM, so it's easy for me to say that. But I feel like once you sit down, once you engage, this is now everybody's shared thing. Now, the DM is still the architect. They're still, you know, the leader in a way of the story. But everybody, I think, has a say in what happens. And, you know, like if we focused too much in my story about, you know, my whole deal with the devil thing or anything, then that kind of like that gives me agency or gives me like an importance in the story, but also then does it start to stop for everybody else? And I think that the DM has done a very good job of that, where the plot is still happening, other characters are doing everything, and then every once in a while on my turn he'll be like, oh, and also you hear a whisper in your ear that says this, and it doesn't take away from anything from anybody else, but it adds to my experience. So it's been a nice balance. I've known all these dudes forever, but like some of them, it's like my DM, I'm like, I didn't know you had that dog in you, dude. I didn't know you were built like this, that you could DM this way. Like, you learn new things about your friends, which is interesting. And I thought actually that I would be more self-conscious because I'm with my friends. Like, whenever I almost found this, like, with Jeremy with recording. It wasn't that he was a stranger, but it was like I met him through doing podcasts by being myself on a microphone, and that allowed me to always continue being myself with Jeremy, whereas sometimes when I'm with like my family or whatever, like I'm the little brother when I'm with my sisters, so like there's like an expectation of how I act, and like it diminishes me in some ways. That sounds very negative, but like, so I thought being around my friends I might be more self-conscious. I'm like, these guys know everything about me, and here I am pretending to be a hot elf. I'm not a hot elf. But no, actually that turns out to not be true at all, because everybody was already just like so into it and just so open, and it was like, wow, okay, this is sick. I feel very fortunate. And again, I've talked about it like a million times, but I think Steve invited me like literally the week before Jeremy passed away, because Jess and I were on vacation and I got a text from Steve being like, oh, hey, we're starting up D&D again, blah, blah, blah. You should join. I'm like, I don't know. That's a lot of effort. And Jess is encouraging me to do it. And then it was right around that same time, that not to get too dark, but I was like, that's weird that Jeremy hasn't texted me for a couple days. I should reach out to him. And that's that was a hell of a week. Of a month following that. But I had something still to look forward to. So it came at exactly the right time. And little did I know that, like, a lot of the other guys had actually just kind of gone through some stuff too, and I, you know, didn't even realize that we were all going through something, and we sat down at D&D at a good time.
That's awesome, man. I'm glad you guys all had that opportunity.
You were saying, and then... you were thinking about doing like a one shot thing with me and Jeremy.
Okay,
and I was like, oh, that's heartbreaking.
I don't know if you remember, there was like because like freaking Jeremy J.G. Greer, this saint of a man. I'm pretty sure I should have been paying podcast rent, and he was like, I got you, big dog, because that's how we used to do it back when we first started that. Like, sharing, everybody would pitch in, and I remember like we were very fortunate that like folks like the Salt Report, and then like Jeremy loved their Salt Report. Yeah. That like we got a lot of like we called the Ko-fi money, that like kind of like the whatever, that little side hustle Ko-fi Patreon type thing.
Yeah,
and so a lot of people sent us like way more than we probably deserve.
Hell yeah, brother.
Little podcast.
You do. So deserve, I remember it. We all deserve it.
Yeah, well, we were paid. We were paid up like a while, so like we didn't have to worry about it. So, but I don't like. He should have charged me at some point. That's been years. Mm-hmm. And we've just been having this domain. I think I even mentioned, like, with the Salt Report. I don't know. Like, he was like, hey, like, if you guys want to, like, archive all of this, like, go through and download all these episodes. And I'm like, dude, we're, like, triple digits. Like, we don't want to do, like, none of us want to do that. Yeah. And I think because it's Jeremy, he's like, oh, I'll do it. Like, you know, it'd be nice. And then I think he realized, like, yeah, archiving, like, over 100 episodes it's a lot. So I think he just played the flat fee to keep us on Spotify, because we're still on Spotify for some reason.
That's all, well,
but never said any of that stuff. But anyways, all of that to say, like, so I just had, like, he's paying podcast rent for me, and I'm not using the space. And so I was like, oh, well, let me do, like, a D&D thing. And I got a couple, like, friends from, like, because then I started making friends on the TTRPG side of, like, Twitter, and then I guess now Blue Sky, because we all left Twitter.
Yeah.
And so I was doing, like, these one-shots, and my idea was every season is going to be the same one-shot, but then have kind of, like, an interview at the beginning to see, like, you know, how do people like... Kind of like how we were just talking. How do you like playing? What do you like? What's, you know, what's your playing style? Different stuff like that. And then we get into this quick little one-shot, and then just seeing like how it's the same story, but how the story changes depending on the player's like decisions and thoughts. So it was the same setup of like, you meet, you know, classic meet at a tavern, get a job. You go to a certain spot. The spot turns out to be like some kind of like testing area. Then the testing area opens up to this, I think it was like you're supposed to go and recover some kind of artifact. Now I'm already forgetting what my one shot was like 4 or 5 times. And then you show up and you're walking through all this, like, you know, like, I imagine like Aladdin, like, when, you know what I mean, don't touch any treasure but the one treasure, but there's treasure everywhere. And then you get to like this big circular section where there's like these different pillars with different artifacts, and then you can try and grab them if you want. And then it turns out you fight this, like, you wake up a greedy dragon, and then you have to fight a dragon, and then you leave or whatever. And that's kind of like, and then, or actually at the end of it, I made it like they wake up back at the tavern. Oh. So almost like they were like, what was that? And it was like, ah, that was just kind of like one of, like, you know, like the we ran you through a hypothetical, what's it called, mm-hmm, to see if you're ready to go on to the bigger adventure. Yeah, yeah. Like the, yeah. So, and so it was like really fun seeing like how people are like, my character's greedy and they're really actually snacking, you know, snatching everything else up along the way. And then other folks that are like just like my one friends, they were just chaos goblins, and they're just like, we're literally doing everything to ruin your story, Jake.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think at one moment I'm just like, they're like, sorry. I'm like, you're not sorry. I know what you're doing.
You're enjoying
this. You're trying to run me. You're trying to tank my podcast, sir. Yeah. So then like I did that first season. I was like, oh, cool. I'm gonna do second season. I'm like, I'll get Chris and Jeremy and I'll run them through one. And I'm like, it'll be fun because
Jeremy is such a gremlin with, like, when we some new Fire Emblem came out like 10 years ago and we made characters in it, he was giving it a shot, and like I named my character whatever like the default name was. I'm like, well, I gotta stick with the lore, I gotta be serious. And he named his character Sam and Dean. Like, it's just everything he did. And then like in Baldur's Gate he would just be like, no, fuck this person, I don't care. Like, he and I'd be like, no, I don't want to hurt Karlak's feelings, and he'd be like, I don't give a shit, whatever. He was just such a little gremlin, so he would have been Karlak, so good, dude.
Why were you messing with Karlak?
Give me 2 seconds. My cat really wants to get out of the room. He's not. Oh, and abruptly. 1 second.
Yeah.
He was like, dude, I swear to God, if you ever lock me in this room again. He just got all confused. Like, wait, hold on. I always get to go wherever I want. What do you mean I'm stuck in here?
Yeah. He's like, you're my roommate, Chris.
Wait, hold on. This ain't right. Cool. D&D with Jeremy would have been fucking sick. I'll try to I'll try to embody him in my next character by just being as he would. He was called the worst, capital W, the worst.
The capital, yeah.
But when did you meet Jeremy? Was it Dark Insight? Was that where you?
I think it was Dark Insight. Because were you? No, wait. Let me.
I wasn't on that podcast.
No, you were on Patty and CJ's
Twin Humanities podcast.
Yeah. And so I think it was just that. Like, I'm like, oh, who are these guys that have Dark Souls stuff? And that, like, the funny thing is I hadn't even played a Dark Souls.
That's
so funny. I literally started talking to these guys because of you.
That's so funny.
You're the reason why I was rage quitting Wu Chong like 3 months ago, because I'm like, I wouldn't have got to these souls like if I hadn't met Chris and then met Jeremy and met all these other guys.
You know what
guys.
It really is? It all goes back to, I think, Metal Gear Solid 5 hype.
Yeah.
Was that 2015? Yeah. Oh my God.
2015, it was, I think. That sounds about right.
Like, because those trailers, I was so obsessed. I like, my whole personality became just about those trailers. Like, that's where I started posting all that shit on Instagram all the time. And then you and I met because of that. It was, so it all goes back to Kojima, really. This is all his master plan.
Yeah, it's Kojima's fault. Kojima's the blame.
You know, when that bastard, he released, Death Stranding on my birthday, so, which is fine.
The first one?
Yeah, the first one came out on my birthday, 6 years ago or something, 5 years ago. But then every year, actually I didn't have to suffer through it this year, but every year on Twitter, my entire Twitter feed would just be Kojima retweeting Norman Reedus's face, and I would get to be like, it's my birthday, Kojima, tweet at me.
Yeah. Who's someone else, Kojima?
You bastard.
Yeah. Yeah, because I think that's what it was, because, like, yeah, you were posting that stuff, and then, like, same thing, the Metal Gear hype was for reals.
It was transformative. And then,
I think that's what it was. I think somehow, I don't know how Patty and CJ found you, but then they invited
CJ
you.
CJ was just, like just randomly, I don't know how he found us, but it was, like, episode 3 of Chomp Chain. We were recording in Dylan's living room. Like, I don't even think we all had microphones. And, like, there was, like, a fourth person in the room or fifth person in the room who wasn't on the podcast just talking in the background. Like, it was so chaotic. But for whatever reason, CJ was like, oh, these guys seem fun. Like, really? Yeah. Me, you?
No, you guys were super fun to listen to, dude. I look forward to every Chomp Chain I was like, dude, I wish I had homies like that. How did you guys all meet? Because I'm like, we don't have friends.
Yeah,
like
we've just known each other. We'd all know each other since like sixth grade. Like Steve, I have literally known for 30 years at this point, which is crazy. In kindergarten,
that's
I met
cool,
him.
Though. Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. Like my best friend I met like the end of like middle school.
Yeah.
And then like it's kind of like one of those like, you know, you grow up and you become adults and I'm like, dude, I'm still playing PlayStation. He's like, yeah, like I turned it on, but it's mostly to put on like, you know, the cartoons for the kids and blah blah blah. And
I'm like, that's crazy, no, dog, because I have not changed at all.
Yeah, dude. I'm like, my kids will come in and be like, can we watch? Like, you watch on the other TV? Yeah. I'm playing a video game.
You shut the fuck up.
Yeah. They're like, do you want to play this? I'm like, I'm playing a game you shouldn't be watching me play because there's a lot of blood and gore.
Dude, Jess is always telling me there's like, she works at a school and there's like these little kids who are like, do you know Leon from Resident Evil? And she's like, yes, but why do you?
Yeah, why do you know that? Yeah. Dude, I went to watch Predator Badlands last night and there's kids younger than my kids.
That's crazy.
And I'm like, my kids would have freaked out watching Predator Badlands.
Yeah, but I don't know. Kids. Like some of these kids are just hardened. They're different. And it's not like we weren't exposed to stuff, right? Like, but yeah. I remember seeing Lord of the Rings, like Fellowship of the Ring for the first time when I was 11 in theaters. I didn't know what it was. And there's the cave troll scene. And I thought it was scary.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, that's a lot. That's a lot to deal with. You know?
Yeah, and you're 11. Yeah. I bet these kids must have been like 5 at 6 at the oldest, if not younger. And it's like, oh, the monster that the Predator is ripping apart right now, Monster Hunter style. Crazy.
Crazy.
Not a peep from the children.
Crazy. I watched Scream when I was 8. I was forced to by my older sisters. And that was terrifying. I couldn't handle it. And that movie's like funny. Great movie. But not for an 8-year-old.
Not for an 8, I was the same way, but... Ah. Yeah.
So podcast. That's where that's where you met Jeremy.
Oh yeah. So like they had you on for that, and I remember like to this day I still remember because I got emotional listening. Like it was, I think the first time like because I wasn't even really into podcasts back then. Mm. So you guys even got me into listening to other podcasts, which is kind of funny. But I remember CJ getting a little choked up when he was talking about how like that one kid that I think had cancer or like he was on the Make-A-Wish.
Was this like the Dark Souls 2 thing that you're talking about?
No, it was for Metal Gear.
Oh, it was for Metal
Gear. And the
Gear.
Kid was a big Metal Gear fan, and then, like, it was, I think maybe Ground Zeroes had already came out, but not Phantom Pain. And then, so, like, Kojima visited him and brought him, like, an early copy to, like, try to let the kid play before he passed away. And I remember hearing that story, and it choked me up, and then hearing CJ get choked up in the middle of talking to you guys about it. I was like, you know when podcasts make you choke up? And you're like, I thought we were just having a good, happy, fun time. And now I'm crying.
Dude, it keeps happening to me recording these. I'm like, all right, we're going in with the jokes. And so the first thing that I recorded after Jeremy passed away was it was like, dude, 35 minutes, but there was like 15 minutes of talking because it was just like huge, long pauses of me like crying or not knowing what to do. It was awful. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, the grief is real, right? But I'm putting that into an audio file and uploading it. That's just, nobody wants to hear that. So a couple weeks later, I finally was like, okay, I'm good right today. I am good. I'm going to sit down and I'm going to talk about Jeremy and it's not going to be a sob story. And that's the one that I did end up putting out. But even that one, like towards the end, I'm like, fuck, I'm crying. Here we go. I'm crying.
It was real. I heard when I was at work. So I missed the early stuff on Discord. And I was like, you know, like, oh, I got a lull in work at like 2 o'clock and I check it. And then I was just like close the office door and I'm just sobbing inside my office. And I'm like, I just messaged my manager. I was like, I got to go home, man. I'm not good right now. And the one where it like, dude, I lost like, you know, like comical, like mascara running down my face. If I wore mascara was when I was writing that song for him.
Oh,
like,
dude, chill out with the song. I was, oh my god, bro.
I was like 4 bars in, and like you know me, like the heaving, like crying, trying to write a song for Jeremy, and I'm like, dude, like no, I want to write the stupid like Supernatural raps Still Is Kingdom Keep rap. But I don't want it. Yeah, and I was just, I'm surprised I was able to actually like record it because I was crying. But somehow I was able to get one take where I could get everything in, but dude, I'm, you know what? I was thinking about this too. Cause I know one of the podcasts you mentioned, like the idea of like, you want to keep talking about him because like, I don't want to forget about him. Mm-hmm. And especially now that we're like past like Halloween and all that other stuff. I don't, do you know that I'm like half Mexican? I don't know if everybody knows this. Okay. So like, dude, like, all of a sudden, I'm thinking, like, Dia de los Muertos. And I'm thinking, like, that movie Coco. And I'm all thinking, like, we can't forget Jeremy. Because if we forget Jeremy, then he's not going to be chilling with Coco and Grandma and all the other folks in Dia de los Muertos land or whatever.
Yeah.
And, like, legitimate, like, in a weird way, felt more connected to this, like, holiday, my, like, family.
But that's kind of sweet, isn't it?
I guess. But at the same time, it just made me sad that, like, like, I don't want to stop talking about, like, and how I think you brought it up. I don't want to stop talking about him, and I don't want to stop remembering him, because, like, and this is okay. This is gonna be selfish of me, but, like, ever since I always, like we said, Discord. I'm a lurker, whatever, and I would just dabble into, like, your guys' Discord. Ever since the news, I've been on that Discord every single day. Yeah. There's been times where I don't know if it's like Autumn. Maybe opening his laptop or computer or, like, turning on his phone or something, because then he'll, like, pop up in the top corner. Yeah. And then I have that fucking moment of, like, Jeremy's here. Mm-hmm. And, like, there's, like, then I get fucking sad because I'm, like, I think I even Googled. I'm, like, why does, like, if you're on Discord and you're not on your Discord, why would your thing icon pop up? Mm-hmm. And they're, like, well, because he's also the admin, bro. So, like, he would pop up because he's the admin.
I still don't have full admin controls of the Discord.
It's crazy.
It's just one of the things, like, do I really want to bother Autumn about that? Like, about, you know?
But, like, I'll have moments like that, dude. I'll have, like, legit, like, oh, Jeremy's online real quick. And then be like, fuck.
That's what I was just talking about last week, like, trying to read the X-Men. And be like, nope, okay, hold on. Every panel, I want to ask him a question. And I'm like, fuck, I should have done this when he was here.
I think I was, when we were DMing and I was talking to you about Free Run.
Oh, I, like, yeah, this dude. You would have loved Free Run, I think.
Yeah, I think, yeah. Especially, like, dude. I re-listened to the Cowboy Bebop podcast you guys did. And, like, God, it felt so good. Like, because, Jeremy's, like, your older brother, and you're like, please like the things I like. Please, I know, don't make fun of my
music. Exactly what it is. Like, you just want to impress him.
Yeah. Because I had one friend that I played some music for, and he, like, laughed at me, and I'm like, that's fucked up, dude. I really thought I would share this with you. You're making fun of me. So, like, Jeremy loving Cowboy Bebop was, like, such, like, this, like,
It was like a win, dude.
Yeah. So I bet he would have loved Free Run, but then, like, rewatching it, because, like, yeah, we went through, like, a third, because I freaking love Free Run.
It's a fantastic show.
Yeah, we went through a third watch, and then, like, bro, thinking about, like, would he like this? Mm-hmm. And then just, like, the first two episodes of, like, you know, Himmel and his whole, like, thing and him passing away. Dude, I was just, like, crying about, like, Jeremy watching
it
this anime.
It's a show that's... It's not about grief, right? But, like, that's such a core aspect of it. Yeah. It's like, of grieving people, of remembering them, but also, like, living your life and not forgetting about, you know, it's very timely. I think when I rewatch that show, it's going to hit pretty hard. But
probably hit you even harder than me. But, like, that first two episodes where they're talking about their old journey and then meeting up. And then, yeah, dude, like, it just, like... It's just one of those where just, like, I just made me think of Jeremy, and it just, like, made me, like, weep watching those first two episodes and stuff.
But it's funny. I know I've talked about this, but you talk about, you know, you're at work and you're like, okay, I got to go home. I had talked to Autumn that this was the day before he passed away. I was in the office and she was like, I asked if I could talk to him, and she was like, okay. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I'll call in a couple minutes and whatever. I took my break and I went outside to my car and I called. But then she, like, didn't answer whatever that we, you know. The timing wasn't right. I don't remember what it was. Yeah. So I went back inside, and now I'm not on break anymore. My break's over, so I'm just at my desk. And then she's like, okay, sorry, like, you can call now. And then I realized, oh, shit, like, here it is. Here's the moment. Like, this is my last chance. And I knew I was going to be a few minutes. I was going to be away. It wasn't on break, so I went and I talked to my boss. And as soon as I got into his office and as soon as I had to say out loud, I'm about to say goodbye to my friend. Dude, I became a fucking blubbering mess.
Oh, man.
And so then I walk out to my car trying to hide from all of my... Like, I'm a supervisor, so I got my team all looking at me like, what's wrong with him? I go out to my car. I call. And Autumn tells me, like, okay, just give me how long do you want me to hold the phone up for him? Because, you know, I won't be able to hear you. So I need to know when you're done talking. I was like, I just need, like, 90 seconds. And I start talking. And then I mostly just start crying, you know, as I'm trying to say goodbye to him. I originally had written something. I was like, this is what I'm going to say to him. But it was so sad that I was like, no. Like, I want my final message to him to just be about, like, how great he's been, how much fun I've had with him. And that's what it was. That's, you know, I said those types of things to him, and you know how much I loved him and all that stuff. And then I'm gonna make myself cry. I gotta chill out. so I,
you're good, man. You're
I
good.
Started crying really,
I'll cry
really
with
hard.
You.
I started
I'll cry
really
with
hard. And then Autumn picked up the phone at the last second, and I was like saying like my last word or whatever. And I think it startled her how hard I was crying. And then we both just ended up started laughing because it was like so. It was just so intense. It was so ridiculous. It wasn't ridiculous, but you know, it was just like, you know, her and I, like, we had barely spoken. You know, we'd done a couple podcasts to each other, but you think about like we're both so close to Jeremy, but like in a way we barely knew each other. So suddenly we're both on the phone. We're both dealing with something. I mean, my pain doesn't even come close to what she's, as his wife, would feel. But we're both experiencing this grief together. We just like had to laugh because it was just so absurd, you know? But it was, so it's, that oddly enough was like something I remember of like, you know, this incredibly difficult moment and then just laughing about it. And then I went back in to the office and I was like, I'm good, I can work the rest of the day. Like 10 minutes later I messaged my boss. I was like, brother, I am not good, I am going home.
Yeah, it's the same thing. Like I saw the news and I was just like, I'm like, no, I can't
dude. The next day I'm still working, I'm at home now, and my boss was starting chewing me out about something. and then I don't remember what it was, but then Autumn calls me to tell me that he had just passed away. That's not funny. But in the middle of my boss's thing, I'm like, dude, my friend just died, I gotta go. And I just signed off. And that was that.
Yeah.
And I just remember thinking to my head, like thinking to Jeremy, like, brother, you just saved me from getting in trouble.
Yeah, thanks, Jeremy. You're just wild.
Perfect timing, my dude. It's just, cause, I don't know. I try to have stuff like that I laugh about because otherwise it makes me so sad. But so much of my relationship with Jeremy was us just laughing. And that was it.
Right. Yeah. And then you know what's crazy is I bet he would find it funny.
Yeah.
Knowing Jeremy. He was like, wait a minute. I saved you from getting chewed out. Fuck yeah. He would love it.
It was intense. It was all very, very intense. It's been so cathartic to be able to talk every week. I didn't know how I would feel at first. It felt selfish in a weird way to just be like, yeah, I'm using our platform to just yap to myself, which feels selfish. But people seem to enjoy it, and it's very cathartic for me, so I'm happy to keep doing it.
Well, I was going to say, like, I think it's more cathartic than selfish, man, because it's like, we're all kind of working. And it's this guy's reach. Like, he was in everybody's lives. He was a part of, like, people's commutes. And, I even said this, too, like, I'm the guy that does the hip hop music, and he's the one with two features from Open Mike Eagle on Don't Give Up Skeleton and on his thing. And I'm like, dude, I'm the one that should have went to all the different concerts when you were younger and became friends with this guy. But you're the one doing podcasts with him and doing features. And I'm like, that's crazy. He followed me because you said something about me. He would have never followed me on Twitter had you not said, hey, my buddy does Bulletborn raps. And he was like, cool. And then following me, I'm like, what?
Yeah, dude. His reach, the amount of people who knew Jeremy was crazy. And then I said this before, but like, after he passed away, finding out that he was even better of a person than I realized, and all of these people who I'd like, maybe I'd seen their name online before once or something, but like so many people posting extremely personal things about like one time Jeremy did this for me or something like that.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that is crazy. How did this man have this much time and energy and love to give to everybody?
And he I felt like I was thinking about this earlier, like just thinking about what we would talk about, that like, it just felt like he had this superpower of just like, if he was an X-Men, his would be like, I don't know. I think of like that one character, Forge, who's kind of like a mechanic. Mm-hmm. Like he could just look at something and know how to fix it.
Yeah.
I feel like he had that, but for like humans or for like empathy or something like that. Cause he just knew like how to help, how to like, and then in a specific way or even encourage and stuff like that. Cause there's so many times that like, I think he would like, he'd be excited about some of the podcast music I would make for you guys. Mm-hmm. And then he would like send it to some of the folks on Discord. And then they'd be like, and then he would send me the screenshots. And they'd be like, what the, and then like, who made this? And then like, at one point there was like a screenshot. They're like, is this Jake? Did Jake make this? And like, and then he'd be like, yup. Like, all like, I just imagine him like all just like cocky, like, yup, Jake made it for us.
Yeah, he was so, very proud, I think, of you. Like, it felt like, this is my guy and he's making this.
Yeah.
Like, It's just he was very proud of all of us in different ways.
And that's what I think was just so cool about him. Like, I think that was like his superpower. That, and then so like going back to what you're saying, I don't feel like it's selfish. I think it's like we've got a guy that can talk about him and give us all the good memories and some of the behind the scenes stuff. So like it's definitely cathartic for all of us, I think. And then you're just a good podcaster too. Like, just you're very entertaining, bro.
I'm just so like yapping.
I think the only thing that's like interesting for us as listeners, and I don't know if like the other folks in Discord will agree with this, we start talking back to you.
Well, that's how I feel.
Answering some of the stuff you do.
You know what I was trying to think before we started this? How many times have you and I spoken like this?
This is like probably our second time.
Like,
actually,
that's it, just
talking.
Two times in like 10 years.
Yeah.
But I feel like I know you so well because I've listened to so many things you've done, so much of your music, when I've talked to you online. Like, so I forget. I'm like, oh, this is our, I think, guessed it on what, season 6 of Monster of the Week, something like that?
Yeah, for the
feedback episode. Was the only time you and I spoke other than this.
No, and that was, I was telling, when I was doing my podcast with Jesse, I was telling them that I was like, I forgot that I was actually live with you guys because I'm so used to just listening to you guys. Yeah. Like for like 5 years, just listening to you guys, that like you guys would ask a question. I'm like, yes. I was like, oh shit, no, this is, I'm actually talking to you right now.
That's
crazy. I thought I would have that right now too, listening to you, but thankfully I haven't spaced out and not just I'm imagining the conversation with you right now.
But that's what's so, you know, funny about podcasts is you get, and I forget about that because I get in my own head about stuff, so it's hard for me to imagine somebody having that kind of a relationship with me, even though I have it with every fucking podcast I've ever listened to in my life.
Yeah, dude, but so like don't think of it as selfish, man. Like you're entertaining. We love hearing the your thoughts and stuff. I like probably like offline want to pick your brain about writing because you brought up writing last week, and
I was trying to write before we recorded today.
I
did not do my homework on Friday. I have to write 1,000 words a day, and I didn't do it on Friday, and I've been suffering over it ever since. But I'm on vacation this week. All right, I'll get it back.
Yeah. But no, I actually started dabbling in writing, and then like I don't really know what I'm doing. So like
anytime,
you started talking about
anytime,
writing,
anytime.
I'm like, I'm going to pick his brain because
absolutely anytime. Because I remember when
you
for me too,
didn't
to
you and Dylan. Yeah, didn't you and Dylan have like a short podcast?
Yeah, dude, the Pretenders Guild. So Dylan actually, he just found all the audio. It's not online anymore, but he just found all the audio for that a couple months ago. I had lost all of it, so I was very happy to see that he still had it.
So
I might try to do something with that, and I would love to like make that come back in some way again.
We just
made up characters, played Skyrim, and then like RP'd as them, and then told the story about our RP, you know, which was fun.
Yeah, dude, it was so fun. And then like that actually got me, funny enough, I think I was into like Warframe.
Oh, yeah.
So I did like a Warframe short story because you guys listening to you guys inspired me to do a little Warframe. Yeah, dude. I think it's on like what's it? WhatsApp or
WhatsApp.
That's the community. WhatsApp. I'm like, WhatsApp is for all the
anytime you want to talk about that stuff, it's so helpful to have somebody to talk, just bounce ideas off of them or whatever. Like I hadn't really done that in forever. And then just recently in a group chat with the D&D guys, and I just like bounce ideas off of them. And the thing that I'm writing now, it's funny, I explained this whole long story that I have been ruminating on for a couple of years. I've written parts of it here and there, but it's very long, very complex. There's 1,000 moving parts, and that stuff can be hard to, you know, put into words. And I explained it all, and then Steve was like, well, yeah, that sounds cool, dude, but that's like a lot. That seems like a lot for you to handle. Why don't you just make something simple? So I decided I would come up with like the simplest fantasy prompt I could think of. Like, there is a group of adventurers and they were hired to go do a job, like your standard D&D beginning. And since starting that, I have now found my way into all these other plot threads that I've been trying to communicate for years and years and years. I'm just finding my way through it by having that really simple start. Things are finally coming together, and it's very rewarding to be able to like push through it, you know?
Yeah. Okay. Cause you brought that up last week, I think, right? Where make it a little more simple. Cause that's where I just hit the point where I'm like, this, I just wanted to do a novella. I'm thinking like,
yeah, that's what I thought this was going to be, but it's already getting out of control.
Yeah. And then like, I came up with this like weird idea that I think would fit, but then I'm like, crap, I grown myself into like a roadblock. And so I'm like, should I just scrap that and maybe come back to it later when I actually know what the crap I'm doing. Because this is the first time I've written anything more than like a page or two for like D&D background.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I think I'm like 70 something pages in, and
that's impressive.
I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing. This is crazy.
I have been there so many times. Sometimes you got to take a step back. Sometimes you got to find, for me, I always write because I've never really like finished anything. I finished one novel that I like threw away basically. So a lot of my fantasy stuff tends to have a very similar type of main character. And I always have that type of character like leading the story or whatever. And then I kind of write myself into holes with it sometimes. So this time, that same type of main character that I like to put into everything is still in the story, but he's not the main character. I decided somebody else is going to be in charge, somebody who is different than how I would normally write, a different type of perspective, which has given it suddenly like woken everything up in me. Like it made it,
that's cool.
Everything just opened and it made it so much easier. I'm like, okay, now through this other voice, I have like, things are more clear cut for me with this one voice, like because it's so different than how I normally do it. I'm like, no, he wouldn't do that. He would do this instead. Like those things suddenly became very clear to me, and it's helped the plot kind of inch itself forward. And yeah,
that's very cool. Can I ask you something? Because I've had this thought, and I don't know if this is a dumb thought or a good thought. But because of D&D, when you're writing, have you ever thought, what if I just roll a D20 and see what happens to my character?
I have kind of thought, like, let me just leave this to chance. Yeah, and it's so hard. I mean, like. With D&D, or I mean, I've spent my entire life playing video games, like fantasy role-playing games.
Yeah.
So it's hard to sometimes, like, especially if I'm writing fantasy, to think outside of those lines. To be like, no, this is a narrative. This isn't just a video game. Like, I got to the point, like, okay, roll initiative. Like, okay, here's the combat will begin. But like, no, it's like, you can still have that in a story, but it's a little different, you know, and you engage with it in a different way. I have those moments all the time where I'm like, let me just flip a coin and decide what happens here.
Yeah, I think at one point, and then like, it's kind of funny because then I, like recently, I think, is it Dungeon Crawler Carl, that series that's kind of blown up? I haven't read it yet. But like, I heard it's called like, was it lit RPG or something like that?
Like something
it's
like that,
RPG literature. And then so I'm like, are they just like legit like writing the story and they're like, let me roll a D20. Oh, it looks like Carl got stabbed. Yeah. So I'm like,
dude, my manager at work was like, I think you'll like this. I'm like, you clocked that I was a nerd, huh? Is that what this is about? you call me a nerd? Is it because of all the Dark Souls action figures on my desk, lady?
Yeah, I forget we had a thing at work where what was it? They're some stupid spirit day. Like, they're like, the morale's low. I'm like, just give us money, bonuses, and we'll be happy.
Seriously. But, like, $50. I'd be happy with $50.
But then they're like, no, let's go get, like, chicken tenders and some french fries and play games. And I'm like, that's not the same as money,
but okay.
Yeah. But they had, like, a remote control car race thing because they were trying to make it, like, race themed or whatever. And then so they had, like, a race car. And then so, like, yeah, like, it's, like, you know, like, also I have two little boys, like, you know what I mean? So, like, I have race cars. And so, like, I was, like, the only person that was able to go through the track. And it's just, like, a square track. Yeah. It wasn't anything special. And they're like, oh, check out the big gamer over here. And I'm like, first off, hold on. The games I play are way more complex than driving in a square.
First of all, that is correct, but it does not apply here.
Yeah. Can I tell you about my Wuchang rant not too long ago?
Y'all want to hear about Wuchang?
Yeah.
No, I didn't think so.
Yeah, you want to know how concerned my wife was for me? Because she's never heard me rage on a video game like this. And she was literally like rubbing my back like, it's okay, baby.
I'm trying to think of the most I've ever raged in front of Jess. I've definitely raged at a game in front of her. And she's like, you're pathetic.
Oh, no. For real?
No, she's just like, why are you watching like this?
She's like, you're good, scrub.
Oh, but it's definitely been
funny
some...
imagining like Jess say something like that to you because Jess seems so
watching
chill.
Me crash out fighting a dragon in Dark Souls 3 or something. Dark Souls 3 actually might have been it because I, for whatever reason, beat that game in like 4 days,
bro.
Which is not a healthy amount of time to spend.
Was that Chomp Chain when you guys were playing Dark Souls?
It might have been, yeah.
Dude, I think I got to, I forget what part it is where you fight the big skeleton lord dude, and then you get to like a bridge, and then all of a sudden some dude like just freaking alley Batman jacks you on this bridge. And I was like, I'm not doing that. And I think even had Dave Sen Plus.
Oh yeah,
Sentinel Plus. Like he even like came and dropped weapons for like literally like I'm gonna help you out, buddy. You're having a rough time. Yeah. He's giving me weapons and stuff from the DLC. And I was like, dude, I can't do this. This is too much for me. It was such a hard game.
Three was a very weird experience because I played Dark Souls 1 and 2, but I had over 100 hours in both of them on my first playthrough. That's how long it took me to beat it. And that wasn't like, I did every last thing. That was like, I just barely made it out.
Kept dying.
So Dark Souls 3, I think I clocked in at 24 hours when I rolled credits. And now I beat it again after that. Like, I did a New Game Plus run, and I think after New Game Plus, I was at 38 hours, and that was like that's still like my save file for that game. Didn't play it anymore for some reason. I've never remembered. I just now remembered.
I just now remember it was that Pontiff boss, the dude with the two swords.
Oh,
that's the dude. I was like, I'm done. I'm not playing this. Mm. Plus, like, luckily I didn't buy the game. I think who was it? Somebody gave me the game.
Oh yeah, dude, it's probably Jeremy.
no, actually it wasn't. It was oh my gosh. He's gonna listen to this. No, okay. I'm not gonna say who it was. He knows who he was. I don't know why I'm drawing a blank.
Every day of my life, I draw blanks.
And I'm just like, I love this guy.
Yeah. Why am I drawing? Shout out to you, whoever you are, homie.
He knows who he is, and he's gonna come for me. Oh my god, he's gonna listen to this. He's gonna come for me because he's on the Discord.
I can't believe you, dude.
Well, this might be the last time we ever talk. Because
I'm never talking to you again after this. No.
Yeah, but like I think he's.
But isn't
it
that
me,
crazy that we've
like
had
really
we've
nice
made so many internet friends over the years that there's dude, enough internet friends that you can forget about some of them.
Yeah, and it's I'm like, is it because there's so many or is it because I'm getting old?
It's a little both probably.
A little both. But yeah, man, like it's been such a cool thing, and then like the evolution of everything, like. Very cool being like, especially like you guys, because it was very much, we're video gamers and we talk about video games. Mm-hmm. We're on these video game podcasts. And then I still remember when you guys started Supernatural, because I had another buddy that was really, he was the guy that like anytime you talked about anything story, he's like, so on Supernatural, it was almost like The Simpsons did it, but like Supernatural did it. And he was like trying to get me to get into it forever. He's like, dude, you should watch it, blah, blah, blah. And then you guys did the podcast. I was like, well, he's going to be happy because now I'm going to start watching this podcast because my friends are doing, or watching the show because my friends are doing a podcast. But yeah, dude, I remember just being like so excited about like these Monster of the Week episode, like the Wendigo, like first early season.
Those
stuff
early
you guys
seasons
are
still like, they really hold a special place in my heart. It's just good. It's just good shit.
Yeah. Yeah. And then like the foreshadowing of like, because I think I remember watching, was it the opening scene where like, it's the baby and then mom's on yeah, dude. I'm like, you guys started this
they
way?
Start that
it's
way,
crazy.
Dude. They go hard. It's crazy.
Or was it the guy with the yellow eyes or something like that too? Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, dude. Like, so like it's been really cool. And then like seeing what Monster of the Week evolved into. Now we've got, you guys got the Patreon and you guys had the different shows. I was even trying to pitch shows to Jeremy. Yeah. I'm like, Jeremy, listen. Like I think when the Amazon Prime, those shorts came out, the video game shorts.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you guys watch those or not, but I was like, Jeremy, listen, if you guys are going to do the D&D episode, can I please be a guest on the D&D episode?
You know, it's crazy now because we always had 1,000 ideas. Like in a perfect world, we were doing a podcast every day about a different show. And we had 12 things going at once. Like that was what we always wanted to do. And then the realities of living always got in the way.
Yeah.
Where, oh, I'm busy. I'm tired. Oh, you got to work, blah, blah, blah. So it always ended up being less than we wanted to do. And now looking back, it's like, dude, that was so stupid. Why didn't we just do it? Why didn't we just take the time and do it? You know, I mean, that's hindsight, right? It's always going to feel that way.
But then also like look back and look at all the stuff you guys did do, which funny. Okay, I'm just going to transition right now that we're talking about this because I do want to talk to you about this, and I know we only got a limited amount of time. Thinking Face, like,
yes.
I gotta know because I think when I first I fell off, I think, and that was deep because there's so many episodes.
There's a lot of episodes of that.
Yeah, were you guys doing like 3 episodes, like
recording? We would record for like 30 minutes to an hour. I can't remember how we would do it. I think we'd do about 30 minutes, and then we would do like before Monster of the Week, and then we would record for Monster. So all in all, we would be in the booth for about 2 hours. The booth.
I'm
at my computer. But yeah, we would record them in batches like that. And
okay,
I don't remember. I haven't listened to Thinking Face since we put them out. But we did start to just we would describe certain emojis in weird ways.
Yeah.
And then we started coming up with like the character. I think it was Carl. Was the
Carl? Yeah,
like our
the whole legend of Carl.
Yeah, the one dude who was either using the emojis or we were like it just became this weird storyline about this guy that Jeremy and I were friends with, who we like went to school with or something, and he really wanted to be friends with us, but he just wasn't cool. So we just were we were just dicks to him basically. And then this slow like horror dawning on him as he gets sucked into this weird emoji void, and we started just getting real weird with everything.
Yeah, that was going to be, like, my question, like, because like, I get, like, you guys were just, like, the cool thing about, like, because it was just a comedy podcast, mm-hmm. so the cool thing was just, like, seeing you guys riff.
Yeah.
And then doing the, like, improv, like, yes and, because I figured was somebody was like, oh, yeah, he was on Facebook, and all of a sudden there's, like, this whole, like, Facebook thread that you guys are talking about, how Carl's always on Facebook using the wrong emoji.
Yeah.
And then it was like, oh, like, all of a sudden you guys went to high school together and were like, you guys didn't even know each other. Yeah, so all the lore. Then, like, the, like, dark room for, like, the photography club or something like that. And so I'm like, when did it, like, start, like, I'm assuming maybe Jeremy started writing the horror, but, like, when did it just, I'm like, hold on, we need to start writing.
I think it was his idea. I think he came up with it first.
Yeah.
And just slowly started, like, commissioning artwork, putting these weird, like, audio messages at the end. And it must have just come off of a random like throwaway like riff of like, oh, this like this guy Carl is getting or some description of an emoji. Like there's some of them that just had like a weird vibe. They were just kind of off putting.
Yeah.
Some of the emojis are a little off putting.
I think there was one where you said like it looks like somebody wearing a mask or a face or something.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I wonder if
and
that
I think
was...
that was really all it took to like ignite this like storyline in Jeremy's brain.
Yeah, because I remember Jesse didn't tell me that they were going to be on it, and then all of a sudden it's like,
oh, yeah.
I'm looking for my brother, and it was a face.
Oh, yeah, they were doing audio for
yes!
us.
There was like this whole like, that. Help me find Carl, my brother's missing.
Yeah,
and I was
shit,
like,
dude.
And then I was telling them, I was like, what? I didn't know you could act like when you're crying and sobbing for Carl, and they've been talking shit about Carl for like 3 months.
Dude, we were so mean to Carl.
You guys were assholes to Carl. He was
it
just...
is just like, God, it's just, it. I'm just imagining, like, you know, I don't know, a show like Stranger Things or Supernatural, where it's like your heroes, they're gonna come, not that we were heroes, but like in this universe, we're the ones who start looking into it and we're like aware of it.
Yeah.
But we have also just been huge dicks to this guy. And now it's like, are we gonna help him? I don't know.
Yeah.
This guy sucks, but I guess we should save him.
Yeah. Yeah, because I just had a blast, like, it was, like, one of those things where I'm, like, I'm just going to go, I don't know a lot of us on Discord are doing it, just going back through all the old shows and stuff like that, and honestly, like, yeah, I know you're saying that, like, you know, wish we could have done more, but you guys have such a good catalog together that it's, like, yeah, getting to go through, what's it called, Cowboy Bebop again, and then, you know, Big Bro loves it, and sort of like, yes, that's a win, and then the way you guys riffed on Thinking Face, man, you guys are so quick and funny about it that, like...
I'm gonna have to, like, listen to those again. It's I barely remember any of it, which is crazy, because we would have to move on so fast.
Yeah, so...
Because it would be, we do one emoji, and then, like, 2 minutes later, that episode's over. Now you have to riff about a new thing.
Yeah.
And sometimes we would extend it, and it would be, like, one chunk would be, like, a whole long string of lore or whatever.
Yeah.
But otherwise, it would just completely switch up.
Yeah, because that's what made me wonder, like, how many you guys did in a row, because sometimes, like... There would be like two or three where like that's like kind of like some of the like same idea, like, oh, Carl's missing or Carl's on Facebook, or and it would kind of like like go like into the next episode, which I thought was cool. So I'm like, oh, you guys must have like recorded these at the same time. But I was always so impressed with your guys' like riffing with each other. Like it was just so fast and so funny.
It's just, and it's the type of thing that like I never, you know, I guess you can't like practice that. And I used to feel so nervous recording,
really,
especially when it was like the three of us, oddly enough.
Oh.
When I was just like, I don't really know these guys that well, like I feel like the odd man out. Like even starting Chomp Chain, I was really nervous. I got over it quickly because it was all my friends, you know. But then sitting down at the microphone, I'm like, I can't see the guys I'm talking to, and like, oh, I'm not that funny, and you know, just all the insecurities coming out,
of course, yeah.
But then over time getting more and more comfortable. And just, dude, the riffage.
You guys are so good, man. I think
sometimes there would just be things, like, I would not even expect my own response. or like Jeremy would say something so totally different than what I like expected him to react with, that it would just totally derail my mind. And now suddenly I'm talking about something else, you know? I need to get our final audio. I feel like there's part of me that feels like weird about putting it out, but like it was recorded in June and it was before anything happened. He was just kept telling me I was going to be canceled the whole time. So that's why I'm keeping it secret. Cause I don't want to be canceled.
Okay.
I said, I'll just get out in front of it. I said that Fox Mulder is not a bi icon.
Gasp.
I didn't say that he wasn't bi. He can be bisexual. I just think he's not an icon.
Okay.
He's not iconic for it. Dean Winchester is iconic.
You know? You go. Okay. Yeah, that's not that bad.
He's a bi icon.
I can't see you being canceled for that. That's kind of like, yeah. I mean, I think it's one of the, what's it called? Like, why would you say something so controversial yet so brave? You know?
Yeah, that's how I feel. That's how I feel. I didn't say, you know, I didn't say he was a bi. He's just not an icon.
He's just not an icon.
He's down in the basement, you know? He's not singing Pink Pony Club with Dean Winchester. That's all. That's all I'm trying to say, people. Yeah. Don't come for me.
He thought you were going to get canceled for that?
No, you just busted my balls. But it's just funny that's like the last thing that we talked about is him busting my balls about that.
Getting canceled, Yeah, because he's like, no, he is the bi, and you're like, nah, not an icon, but yeah.
And I think it's like, it's part two of a two-parter for X-Files, recorded that episode like three times.
Oh,
where,
really?
The first time we sat down, like 1 minute into it, he was like, okay, I'm too tired, like, I can't do this. I'm like, okay, no worries. Then like 2 weeks later, like we rewatched the episode, then we sat down, and then we got like 15, 20 minutes in, and we had done all the outtakes, and then the same thing, because it was like the chemo that he was going through was really taking its toll on him at that point. And then finally, like June 3rd or 1st or something, like it was right at the beginning of June, where we sat down, recorded, and locked the fuck in. He was like, I mean, if you didn't know he was sick, you would not know.
Wow,
In some of the previous ones that we had tried to record, you could hear it. You could hear how tired he was, how worn out he was. And this one, he was on like top of his game, as good as ever. So that's why there's a part of me that's like, I want to get that. You know, there's this last, you know, there's one last podcast between the two of us. It's the last conversation that we had.
Yeah.
So, cause I don't know if I've said this, but after that, because of like the way that he wasn't really able to text as much because of like what the chemo was doing to him and everything. So for almost all of that month, we barely talked, which was so weird.
Mm.
And I mean, I understood typing sucks for him right now.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to like blow up his phone every 2 seconds. Like he would send me a video or whatever, and I'd, you know, watch that. Like that was kind of how we were interacting rather than talking.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it was a little weird at the end. And then, I'm going straight into the dark. we're over an hour into this now. Jake, is there anything that you want to talk about before we get out of here?
You know what? I was thinking of something and then I lost it because you were getting into the X-Files stuff.
Started getting in my field. Yeah. Listen, listeners, if you're hearing this and you want Jake and I to do a free run podcast,
hey.
I'm just saying.
I'm just saying.
I'm just gauging interest. I'm just saying I'd do it.
Actually, you know what, too? Like, if you want to do video games, man, like, that's another thing I wanted to talk to you about, too, was you had brought up Rise of the Ronin in one of the outtakes.
That game rules.
Yeah, and then so like I had to wait so long for it to go on sale because
I know I waited a while to get it too.
Bro, I don't know if they heard the podcast, like if they listened to your podcast and they're like, oh, let's put it back to $60 or $70 or whatever it was.
Bastards.
I waited a long time for it to go on sale.
And it's sick though.
It's
right?
Really good. But I do have like the one to pick that I was like, okay, did you feel this way? They kept on introducing new characters throughout the entire
game. Yeah, and I'm like, I don't know who you are.
And then they're like, remember when you did that thing for this guy? And I'm like, I don't think I've ever seen this name before.
I think part of it is because they're based on like real historical figures. And since I'm not like familiar enough with like the Meiji era or wherever that game is set, that I'm like, if it wasn't in Kenshin, then I don't know what happened. You know what I mean? my Japanese history is very limited. It's just to anime.
But like I would love to talk video games too. Like, so...
Oh, for sure. Yeah, hell yeah.
So if anybody wants to hear me, just...
Yeah, in the comments, hit us up. Let us know.
But,
I'm just going to... Dude, I keep saying free read because I'm like, oh, that's like a reasonably lengthed show, right? Like it's like 20-something episodes.
26 episodes, and then I think we're supposed to get season 2 in January.
Yeah, season 2's is coming soon. But then it's funny, like Jess and I have been watching the show Bones, which is 12 seasons, and then people being like, oh, do that. I'm like, I'd love to, but also that's a humongous commitment.
Yeah.
I'll be in my 40s by then, man.
Yeah. Oh, you know what? I did remember this thing, and I like don't want to like make. I'm not sure if everybody's like, hey, it's been an hour. You guys should call it a wrap or something.
This is free content.
But I did just think about this because I remember you were saying that like there will be stuff that'll happen. You're like you want to message Jeremy about it, and dude, because I like one of the things we started doing was like we'll just share TikToks with each other, and then a lot of mine's like a lot of it would be like hip hop. Like, oh, check out this cool one or whatever. There's this one funny one that was like, how come all Louisiana rap beats sound like James Bond music? and it all sounded like, remember like that iconic like Nintendo 64 GoldenEye music that everybody vibes to? All the beats sound like that, which was like crazy to all these Louisiana rappers. So like the one that I saw recently and I got a little like choked up that I couldn't send it to him was there's this a guy that does like food and like, honestly, like this dude is like, it's like a handsome, unlucky dude. He's really handsome, but he's like tatted up. He's got like face tattoos and stuff like that too. And he makes this gumbo and like, I don't know nothing about gumbo, but it looked bomb.
Right.
And then I was going through the comments and everybody was like, like, oh my gosh, like this looks like really good. And then like, even like the hacks that he's doing, like, oh, throwing like a turkey leg with the greens or turkey neck, I think, or something like that. All these like cool, like little tips that like Louisiana folks would know. And the comment that I like, I immediately screen grabbed the comment, was about to go message Jeremy.
Oh.
But then I stopped. But then the message or the comment was, I know a Louisiana vampire when I see one. And I just lost it because of the whole like Anne Rice and the interview with the vampire stuff. And I'm like, he would have loved this comment so much.
Yeah, he would have.
Because that was the first thing, like, I know a Louisiana vampire when I see one. Because it's like this dude had no business cooking the way he was cooking. And I was just,
I think the last thing that he sent me was a link, like from Legend of Zelda. It was a Link fan cam.
Nice.
Just like, people make the K-pop fan cams. Yeah. It was one for Link.
That's cool.
That was the last video he sent me.
Yeah, man. He had,
true to the end.
Yeah, he had like, I miss that a lot too. Because there's a lot of times, like, because of the time difference, I would get up for work and he would had already messaged me something. And then
also,
like,
he was waking up at like 4 a.m. every day because he was a freak.
Yeah. I was getting up at like 5 a.m. my time or whatever. But like, he would always have like the new like music links. And then like his hip hop, dude, like I was thinking about this. Like he would like, hey man, did you hear this new hip hop? And I'm like, dude, I don't know who this is. And I make hip hop and I don't know.
He was deep, dude. He was deep.
Yeah, dude. He was like, I think there was one that like the one he recently got into was like a guy named Billy Woods. And like, he was talking to me like, yeah, dude, like, you know, Billy Woods. And I'm like, yeah, bro. I'm like, is that your uncle? Like, who's Billy? And so I'm like, is that a dude in the bayou? Who's Billy Woods, bro? Sounds like a great guy. But like, yeah, dude, like it was, there was always something cool with Jeremy. Yeah, but that was one of the other things I had thought of. I'm like, man, like when you said like sending, like wanting to send him stuff, I had that, or just missing like those, like, hey man, did you check out this new thing? Or my favorite too was also like, hey, are you working on anything? Cause then it'd be like, what you got for me? And he would always like, the cool thing, like he would do too, like he started doing this recently. He would buy the soundtrack to stuff and then send me the actual soundtrack and then be like, yeah, sample this or chop this up or do this.
Oh,
with
hell yeah.
And then would just like, let me like hyper focus, like, cause I think that's my ADD. Like I start hyper focusing on stuff and that's all I can think about. So like, yeah, like I would just like cook up like five tracks. I'm like, which one of these five tracks you want? And he's like, all of them.
Yeah.
And find a way to use them all, which is cool. But yeah, man. Like,
I feel like you always knew about our new podcast before like anybody
else. Yeah, dude. Like
I gotta get Jake on the horn. Gotta get him some music.
Yeah. Like he was like, all right, so we're going to cook up this one. We're going to do this one over here. And I'm like, hell yeah. And I'm like, a new show to watch. Yeah. Cause that wasn't even on my radar. Like, yeah, when you guys did Merlin and stuff like that, I'm like, is that on Netflix? I got Netflix right now. Can I watch it?
Merlin was a crazy time. Merlin, we just were like, yeah, should we do this? The show's kind of funny, right? And then we just got super into it.
But yeah, that was one of the last things I was like, oh, wait, I wanted to talk to you about that real quick. So
yeah, well, thank you for spending so much time for me. Normally, I'm like, yeah, I'll do like 30 minutes.
Oh, yeah, we did. Like,
if you're looking at the timer, everyone, it's longer than 30 minutes. No, but that was great. It was really, really nice to talk to you. It's been a while.
Heck yeah, man. Thanks for having me.
We'll have to do more stuff soon.
Definitely. Definitely. I'm down.
Yeah. Thank you for coming. Is there anything you want to plug before we get out of here?
Not really. I mean,
you got any links I can drop in the episode description?
I can send you my link tree. There's Spotify, Apple Music, all wherever you get music, there's instrumentals and stuff like that.
Where's the Final Fantasy 15 EP, Jake?
The Final Which
one? Is that a thing you did?
Yeah, that's the one with the traveling the tough guys. Yeah, one's technically on. That was before I was making beats, so technically those are all like I jacked beats.
So what about there's like a I don't know if you just same thing with, you did a Metal Gear EP, but it was like a song about like a dude living on.
Yeah. Okay. Oh my god. That was Chomp Chain.
I loved that song.
Yeah, yeah, that's when I thought I could sing too, which is not a good.
I like that song a lot. I think it's you singing.
Yeah, my whole idea was like because of Metal Gear Solid 5, and you were on the Mother Base, right?
Mother Base, is that what it's called? Yeah. God.
And then dude, so like out, every so rusty. Like they made it like because like you didn't have to just play as the fake Snake, you could play as
you could be all these other guys, right?
Yeah. And then so and all of them had the iDroids, and so I was like, cool, I'm just gonna pretend like them one of the, I think it was like you could go to like one of those like name generators to get like a big boss name or something like that. Yeah. And I became like Decoy Anaconda, who was like recording his EP on a freaking droid and just me singing into the mic. But yeah, so if you go to my Bandcamp, it's jakelinehart.bandcamp.com. A lot of the stuff that I don't have on Spotify, or I was too embarrassed to put on Spotify, Apple, that's all on there. There's like a Bloodborne album and Dark Souls album. One of them,
you have your Down by the River cover on there.
Yeah, we've got. Well, that one actually is.
I found that by accident. Like when Baldur's Gate 3 came out, I was like looking for the soundtrack on Apple Music, and then I was like, "What,
yeah,
dude?" And then I see your name there.
Yeah,
it was sick.
Oh, thanks. But yeah, so like if you just look for my name, Bandcamp has some of the stuff that like I might not have the rights to the music, but I guess I can get away with putting it out for free.
Listen, dude, I don't. I'm using like fucking random Metallica in my audio. Nobody cares on this Patreon. It's fine.
Yeah, so
I've not used Metallica because they would hunt me down and kill me. But I've used lots of licensed music.
Yeah,
I keep them on a separate like audio track or whatever, so that if I ever upload these to like the main podcast feed or anything, I can
swap out the
remove
music. Yeah,
licensed audio. Yeah,
but I'll send you the link tree. But like, yeah, if you're just look for Jake Linehart on Bandcamp or. That's just jakelinehart.bandcamp.com, and then just Jake Linehart on wherever you get music, Apple, all those things. You'll find like mostly now it's instrumental. I've kind of like more focused on instrumental stuff than like rapping about stuff, because like,
and hopefully I will be using those instrumental tracks.
Yeah, well, I'm sending you some stuff. So, but the one thing I will say, I recently got into like the Warhammer lore. Which is holy shit.
That's crazy.
It's wild. For whatever reason, I kind of really like the Battle Sisters. I thought they were really fun.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so I did do like a whole like maybe close to 20 instrumentals based on their lore.
Shit.
And then I found out like when I commissioned the art for it, the guy was like, hey, they're kind of really protective of their property or their IP. So maybe like don't call it Battle Sisters. So I called it like, I forget what I called it now, but it's all like you can tell like I kind of.
War Girls.
Yeah, like you know what I mean? Like I was like Battle Nuns. Or something like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I'm really proud of it, and I don't think, I don't know if like hip hop, trip hop is necessary. And then like it's also like because they're like nuns, I sampled some gospel stuff. So I don't know if like
that's kind of sick.
That yeah, I was sick. Like I was calling it like grimdark gospel, and then my wife was like, that makes no damn sense. Grimdark, good news.
It makes perfect sense. Yeah, it makes perfect sense.
But I'm really proud of it, and I don't think it's getting enough plays. And so if you guys just want to like you know,
yeah, dude,
blast the battle
dude,
music.
Let's put some of that in here for sure.
But yeah, that's my stuff.
Hell yeah! All right, well, thank you, Jake. It's been good talking to you. Talk soon. And remember, everybody, don't give up, punks. Get it? I gotta. When I say it, I want everyone to hear the comment without me saying it. So don't give up, punks.
Don't give up. Wait for it.
Bye, everyone.
Punks. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Hell yeah.